What do you think of the Liz Truss thing?
I don't understand what's happening in this country. This country.
You mean that country?
Well, this country too, but that country meaning yeah, Great right. Britain. Yeah, like they just have this political system where I think they flip a coin every morning to see who's prime minister.
I don't think it's that. The thing on this is wasn't she trying to be Margaret Thatcher?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. She wanted to lower tax rates a little bit and make them more energy independent. And really, they threw out Liz Truss with the goal of throwing out conservatism.
44 days.
Yeah.
44 days.
And it worked.
And I don't know if you can. I don't know anything about her. I mean, somebody said, you know, big story today is Liz Truss a couple of days ago. And I'm like, who the hell is Liz Truss? I completely forgot. She'd only been in as prime minister for 44 days.
It's incredible.
It's incredible. I don't know if you don't have the love of a lot of people. I mean, walk through walls of fire kind of love.
Yeah.
By a lot of people in the country. If you can beat the media and the deep state and the central banks.
I should tell you that we had a vote and it was a vote of no confidence and you've been removed as host.
So. That's fantastic. Can I leave now?
wait, did you vote?
Deliver the podcast?
Yeah. By the way, speaking of the podcast, you should subscribe. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Promo code is Glenn. You can save $10. Or we are here on podcasts already. Click subscribe here, rate and review the podcast, and Stu Does America. 5 stars is the appropriate number of stars.
And by the way, tomorrow's podcast, fantastic.
Rachel Bovard, right?
One-on-one.
No, she's great.
She is. No, she's better than great.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to be so negative about her.
Okay. What do you think? She's Liz Truss? I actually, you'll hear it. I asked her something I've never asked anyone before on the podcast. I'm really impressed by her. Okay, anyway, that's tomorrow's podcast. Let's get into today's, brought to you by Relief Factor. Look, if you have pain, we need all hands on deck right now. We need you out of pain. You need to, honestly, and you could stand to lose a few lbs too, you know what I'm saying? I mean, get in shape a little bit. I'm only saying that because you can't see me right now. I'm as fat as an elephant. Anyway, help yourself out with pain with Relief Factor. 70% of the people who try it go on to order more month after month. $19.95, you can try the 3-week quick start. If it's working for you in 3 weeks, great. If it's not, probably not going to work for you. So stop taking it. You're out $20, but man, 70% of the people swear by it. I do. Drug-free, natural way. It is ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. We are thrilled to welcome the next senator from the great state of Georgia, Heisman Trophy winner, Herschel Walker. Hello, Herschel. How are you, sir?
Hello there, sir. How are you doing?
Very good. I'm glad to see that you are you're holding it together. We had real concerns, Herschel. Stu and I, we talked about it. You are a good guy, nice guy. You had your issues in the past, but you dealt with them and you were forthcoming. But to be in your position, we knew they were coming after you with everything and anything they could think of. And they have. And you have held up remarkably well under this pressure. Can you think of another person that is not political at all that got in and was able to withstand the storm that he's stood?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I can't think of anyone that's ever done it, but I can say this is, you know, I believe in the Lord Jesus. And I told you when I got in this race, this is much bigger than Herschel Walker.
Yeah, I know.
I hope to see that right now, that they would do and say anything for this seat. The seat is so important to them that if they have to destroy me, they're going to try it. But they don't realize that I told them I have the Lord Jesus on my side, and I'm going to fight through it, and I fought through it. And right now, they're nervous. They're scared to death right now. So they're going to come back with something else. But I think after that debate, he saw then that he was that wolf in sheep's clothing that I've called him out on, and I'm going to go after him even more and let him know that he's been a terrible senator for Georgia. He's a terrible senator for the United States. His voting record has been terrible, the same as Biden's voting record has been terrible, what he's done to this country, and I'm going to keep fighting.
Herschel, I Googled you this morning. I just put the Herschel Walker clicked on news. You know, they can change elections. We know this. Google can change elections by just changing the order of stories. Listen to the way Google is trying to come after you. First story, Herschel Walker calls his mental illness cured. Experts say not so simple. Daily Beast, tuning out the news, prank calls Herschel Walker. I wanted to report a crime. CNN, opinion, the real Herschel Walker problem. Newsweek, there are two preachers. Herschel Walker is no choice for the faithful. Another one from the Daily Beast that isn't good. You've got one that is from Fox News that is decent. Then The Guardian, bad. Again, MSNBC. There is nothing except one story at the bottom of the page from Fox News. That's okay. Why do they hate you so much? Why are they so afraid of you?
Well, they're afraid of me because I'm a black man that I have my own thoughts. I have my own thoughts, and they're afraid that if I let everyone know that, you know, you can have your own thoughts, that they can't just rude me. They're not going to just have, they're going to just tell me what to do. And I think that's the reason they're so afraid of me, and that I will speak my mind, that I will go to Washington and fight for what every person that went to Washington was supposed to do. So they're scared to death of me, and I told them no weapon formed against me will prosper. They have continued to write all those things, but right now, Senator Warnock is either behind me or we're tied, and he's spent almost $60 million already.
Crazy.
Which means it's maybe time for him to go.
What are people saying on the ground? Have you talked to people that did vote for Herschel Walker that are or voted for Biden and have seen the light?
Well, you know, what people are saying is that, you know, they're so glad that I've stayed above all the trash, all the family stuff and all this. They want to know about what I'm going to do for them because right now this economy is bad. You know, and one thing about it is Raphael Warnock got a pass. He got a pass that he has not dealt with. My pass has been very transparent. He's got a pass that he hadn't dealt with, and I wouldn't bring it up. Because I said it's not about what he's done in his family life. It's what he's done as a senator. As a senator, he voted to put men and women's sports, which we disagree with that. He voted against 18,000 border agents. He voted against that. He voted for all this inflation that we have. You know, he voted to have the for you to pay other people college debt. That's what he wanted to do. So I want to get him out of there because of him as a senator. He's not done a good job.
I tell you, I saw the debate between the two of you, and I thought you did phenomenally well. But you brought something up that was in the news, and your quip back to him. I didn't write the story. It was hysterical. But his church that he's running, his outreach and kind of shelter in a way. I mean, you can rent from the church and live in these apartments. Somebody was behind in rent by $28 and they evicted them.
Yes.
I mean, that's really remarkable.
And, you know, he gives you Bible verses when he get caught in something, but he didn't realize that I know the Bible as well. So I had to say, hey, Senator, instead of you giving me these Bible verses, why don't you read a little bit more of that verse? Because that verse do not say that you're supposed to evict people that are hurting. You're not supposed to evict them from their home when you're yet at double your salary. Your income has doubled. Since you got to Washington, your income doubled, and you're evicting people of $28, $30. And I offered to pay, and he, and I hate to say that, he bared false witness up on stage pretending he knew nothing about it. He pretended I did it, and I just found out about it that day. He pretended I did it, and then he brought Dr. King's name in it. And I said, being a leader, take responsibility, but then you fix it. And right now, you see in Washington, nobody want to take responsibility, so how are we ever going to get this fixed? And my question I asked is, they've done this in less than 2 years. And I want everyone to know, if they've done this in less than 2 years, think about if we give a senator 6 more years, what is he going to do to us? Mm. If we give six more years, what he's going to do to us. We need to stop this right now. So I encourage everyone in Georgia to vote for me, anyone in Texas to vote for someone that believes in America, believes in this Constitution, believes in the Republican Party, because I don't care what color you are. Right now, they don't want a black or brown person in the Republican Party, because they know then more are going to come over, because they're going to start seeing the light that the Democratic Party just want to continue to hold you down, want to continue to think that the government is going to give you something. But no, give me an opportunity. That's all I ask. Give me an opportunity, and I will get it for myself.
We're talking to Herschel Walker. Herschel, during the debate, I was actually impressed they asked this question, because they almost never do, which was asked Raphael Warnock, do you have any limitations on abortion? Is there any moment before, right before birth, that you would limit abortion? He completely avoided the question. Do we have any idea? Has he ever stated anything clear on this? Is there any limitation on abortion in the mind of Raphael Warnock?
Well, no, it's not. He believes in abortion all the way up to 9 months. He believes that if a baby survived an abortion, he would deny that baby medical care.
Wow.
That is a minister that has. Now, and I said this, thou shalt not kill. That's one of his Ten Commandments. So I ask anyone out there that is thinking about voting for him, if he cannot keep the ultimate oath to our Almighty God, do you think he's going to keep it for you? Do you think he's going to keep it for you? Because I said, it is amazing to me that he's been out there saying all this stuff. And, you know, he even said America need to apologize for it, whiteness. But yet he's not saying, do you ever think of redemption? Do you think of forgiveness? That's in your Bible. And it's written in your Bible as well. A house divided shall not stand. And this is a minister. He should be out preaching togetherness, preaching, bringing people together, taking the baton of Martin Luther King, running with it.
I have to tell you, I think that was the biggest thing I walked away from. Here is a guy who's a football player running for an office that, you know, everybody said he was no way he could win. And he's going up against a preacher who is in office. And this preacher looked like almost like an atheist compared to you. I mean, it wasn't hard. Just the questions you were asking him. And the way he was answering, no preacher would ever answer questions like that, all the way up to birth. And see, I don't think people really care that much when it comes to the economy or the abortion issue. I think people are picking the economy and what's happening to our children. That's, you know, abortion is important, but what's happening in our schools and what's happening with our money and our jobs is taking a priority. But people are against abortion. The vast majority of Americans are against this extremist view of I can kill a baby on its birthday, or if they are born alive and I tried to kill it, I'm going to put it in a closet and let it scream until it dies. Nobody is for that. These guys are.
He's a preacher. I said, why are you not baptizing that baby? Do you believe in baptism? Since you don't believe in resurrection, do you believe in baptism? Do you believe in forgiveness? Do you believe in anything? And, you know, not that I'm questioning him as a preacher, but if you're going to bring Bible verses up when you get caught with something, you read the whole scripture. Don't just read half of it. Take what you like out of it. That's not what you do. And I never had a doubt. And I hope you guys believe in me. I never had a doubt that I would beat him in a debate. I never had a doubt. I said, because he didn't know who he had. And I think he underestimated me, which he has done a lot in this as being a senator.
Well, I will tell you, you were pretty brilliant in saying, look, I'm just a country boy. He talks for a living. I don't. I just want to hold my own there. Because you lowered expectations. And when you started, I mean, I haven't seen people that don't do this for a living pivot as well as you do. And even asked the question on NBC the other day, you know, what, tell me what Biden has done that's good. Well, he likes ice cream. Brilliant answers. Really, really good answers.
Well, you know, I asked anyone else to tell me what he's done that's good. You know, the first thing he did when he got as president, he got rid of the Keystone Pipeline.
Yeah,
that was our energy, which now put us in an international crisis.
Yeah,
you know, not just as gas and oil, but also food. You know, he put us in a very serious crisis by doing that, and I don't think people realize that. Herschel, national security. You think about national security, he just put us in.
Herschel, I'm so happy that you're doing well. I'm proud of you as a friend, and I am excited for you giving the Democrats the Heisman throughout your term as senator, should you win. Thank you very much. How can people help and get involved in your campaign?
Well, you know, early voting started here in Georgia on Monday, and I want people, they can go to teamherschel.com, and if you want to contribute to the campaign, or if you know people in Georgia that you get, tell them to vote for Herschel, or can do it not, or volunteer, because we're going to win this seat for the great state of Georgia, but we're also going to win it for America. I think this seat is very, very, very important, and I think people can see it, how they will say and do anything to keep power. But they keep power from me, they're going to have to work hard. And I'm willing to work. And I just want people to go to teamherschel.com, find out where I'm going to be speaking, and tell your friends to come out and listen. And just know that I will fight for Georgia, and I'll fight for everyone in America, because I believe in this country. I believe in the people. And everyone in America is my family. And I'm going to fight for my family.
God bless you, Herschel. Thank you so much. We have you in our prayers. God bless.
God bless.
You bet. Herschel Walker. Team Herschel is the web address. You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. Welcome to the Glenn Beck Program. Michael Malice is joining us now, host of Your Welcome, a podcast that is just great. He is talking to us about the three biggest Senate races in the country. But I also want to talk to him about some of the tweets he put out about the number of Democrats in the House in the last 100 years. There is a slim, but there is a possibility this becomes historic. We'll talk to him about that. First, let's go to Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona. Hello, Michael.
Good morning. Are you as excited for election night as I am?
I actually am, because I know what we have planned, some of the things we have planned.
Oh, I don't mean us personally on the blaze. I just meant I think this is going to be really one of those epic election nights where a lot of very bad people are going to be very upset.
And oh,
it's
going
to be to the delight of the audience.
I hope. I feel weird predicting, but I'm gathering a sense of real optimism here if people go out and vote.
Yeah, I also think what I'm most looking forward to, and I would bet you agree, is that many Republicans have, and both Republican politicians and Republican voters have been tried to be the recipients of a tactic they tried in 2016, which is you cannot vote for this person. This person is anathema, taboo, whatever word you want to use, and you do not have a right to choose this person as your candidate. I'm specifically thinking of Carrie Lake,
yeah,
who's probably been hit harder than any other candidate. She's running for governor in Arizona. She's ahead in most of the polls, or 1 point behind in some of the others. The fact that Glenn Youngkin, who by most accounts seems to be kind of a milquetoast generic mm-hmm. Republican, went out of his way to campaign for her and especially when people like Mike Pence campaigned against her in the primary, is very, very telling, because this is showing how the corporate media's attempts to define who is acceptable and who is not acceptable, both for Republican primary mm-hmm. voters and for the general electorate to vote for, that power is falling away rapidly, and that is to the great health of,
it is,
as they would put it, our democracy.
It is. The fact that we are pulling away from our parties, that we are questioning all politicians, and we are waking up to the fact the media has been lying to us, is a good sign of health for the Republic.
And the fact that Carrie Lake, you know, they have this thesis. If you listen to pundits on, you know, most media networks and you read their articles, they had this thesis that Trump is basically like the head vampire, right? And once we get rid of Trump, everything is going to go back to normal. We all saw those movies. You kill the head vampire, all the other vampires vanish. And I've often said that Trump wasn't the river, he was the dam. Mm-hmm. You get rid of him, you're going to have this, you know, river of people that corporate media would not like. And Carrie Lake is, and Governor DeSantis, of course, are very much playing in the Trump handbook in the sense of taking the fight, not specifically to the Democrats, but to the journalists who are carrying water and running interference for them. I'm sure you saw it earlier this week when they were yelling at her for being an election denier. And she just busted out the receipts of Stacey Abrams in 2018, Hillary Clinton, and who knows how many others in 2016, calling Trump's election illegitimate and saying Governor Kemp in Georgia, his election was stolen. So
it's what so many of us have said the whole time. Stop being afraid. Stop giving in. Tell the truth.
But it's also the inverse. As another Arizonan, John McCain, learned, they're never going to like you, or yes, they're only going to like you insofar as you're doing their bidding. And the second you are in the way of their schemes, as McCain found out in 2008, they will throw you under the bus so fast it would leave you skid marks from California to Maine.
Yeah. So talk to me about Fetterman.
Oh, my favorite candidate of this year. I sent him money this week.
Just because it's be fun, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if they literally shaved the Chewbacca or they found Lurch and they kind of took him from butler to being in the Senate. He needs a teleprompter to even hear the questions, which frankly in this day and age makes him presidential more than anything, right, rather than being a senator. He should be running for Biden's seat in Delaware, to be honest, you know, because of the brain damage. And his wife, I don't know if you saw this, Glenn, she was very upset at that reporter who was asking very benign, germane questions about, look, you need a prompter to hear what I'm saying. Voters are concerned about your health. Is this a concern? And you know, how dare you question the health of a man who most recently had a stroke?
Right. How dare you? How dare you, sir? I have to tell you, I want to see. I would pay money. In fact, if anybody can produce this in a realistic way, I mean, I might pay you money for this. I want to see him and Gene Wilder on the stage doing Putting on the Ritz. I just think, Putting on the Ritz! It's John Fetterman.
But the thing that I'm very surprised about, and Glenn, I'm curious to hear your thoughts as well. The two big kind of swing races where you had these kind of odd candidates, celebrity candidates, was Georgia and Pennsylvania. Dr. Oz, who obviously has no political background, particularly Herschel Walker, football star, had no particular political background either in Georgia. Both were nominated by the Republicans in large part due to their name recognition and their bank accounts. And Oz looked dead in the water. He was running a terrible campaign. Republicans weren't buying it. But now he's in better shape than Herschel Walker. More importantly, he has the momentum. He was behind in all the polls, you know, not that long ago. And now he's caught up or a point or two behind. So I think that is a big surprise that he's looking to be in many ways a safer bet than Walker in Georgia. Are you surprised to see that happen, Glenn?
I am, but I wouldn't count Herschel Walker out. I think Herschel Walker is going to win. I don't know if you saw the debate, but I think he's going to win.
I agree with you. I think he's going to win. And the reason is we haven't had a wave election in, I think, like 8 years. 2020, it wasn't a wave election because Republicans picked up House seats. In 2018, it should have been, in 2018, it wasn't a wave election. 2016, you know, Trump won, but it wasn't some kind of massive wave one way or another. 2014 was when all the races that were toss-ups broke for the Republicans, and they had their biggest House majority since the 1920s. If you look at the Real Clear average of polls, which is kind of the most reliable one because it's a poll of polls, every single House race that they were looking at, that was, that, you know, the last race changes, I think there were 20 of them, every single one went in the direction of the Republicans. Now, that didn't mean the Republicans were favored. In some cases, the Democratic lead went from 10 points to 7 or 15 to 12, and they're still going to win. Point being, if you have this kind of nationalization of an election and every race starts breaking in one direction, we've seen it, you and I are old enough to have seen this in 94. We saw for the Democrats in 2006, 2008. If that's the case, then all three of these kind of races that are going to decide the Senate, specifically Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, they're all going to break Republican. I want Herschel Walker and Fetterman are the two candidates I'm most excited about. And I agree with, well, did you, I read Herschel Walker's book this week. Did you know he played Russian roulette so many times he's lost track of count? Did you know that?
I did know that.
By his own words.
Yeah, no, so I know. He's not like that. He used to be a neighbor of mine. I know him. He admits to his crazy, crazy life. And I think he has it under control. I think he knows, well, you know, what caused it and you know, what the effects are.
Well, I think most people know what the effects of Russian roulette are.
Yeah, I know.
And I think this is the kind of thing, I'm Russian, but you know, I guess technically if I play roulette, it's Russian roulette, but
yeah, I don't even play roulette. So
yeah.
So you did a couple of polls, on Twitter the other day. If Republicans take control of Congress next month, will Joe Biden govern more like Bill Clinton, leading things more balanced budget and Defense of Marriage Act, which he voted for, or will he stay the course? 90% said stay the course. 100% agree with that.
Yeah, it's obviously not a very scientific poll because it's just audience. Yeah. But the thing, you know, Joe Biden as a senator, you know, in the 90s, he was this kind of quote unquote centrist Clinton Democrat, voted for a Defense of Marriage Act, and now he's tweeting about how important it is for everyone to be able to marry who they want. I think the reason why I would agree that if the Republicans take the Congress, as it looks quite likely that they will, that Biden is going to stay the course, is it seems pretty clear to pretty much everyone, including Democrats, that Biden is not really the leader. If you look at those massive spending bills, none of them were particularly Biden priorities. It's not like he was there like, you know, supposedly this blue collar Joe. These were all kind of lefty environmentalist things. He's that wasn't ever his issue. So it seems quite clear that, first of all, he's only in the White House due to the powers that be in the Democratic Party, like a Warren Harding kind of situation, the men in the smoke-filled rooms. No one liked Biden. He was doing terribly in the primaries. Then phone calls came and the party's like, all right, he's our guy to stop Bernie Sanders. And there's been very little leadership from, like, Obamacare was Obama's decision. You know, Pelosi was the one kind of behind the mechanics of it, but it was clearly his big vision. Biden doesn't have vision at all. He can't even get up the steps. So, you know, I think that's actually correct, that if the Republicans take over Congress, that he's, I don't think it's just going to be stalemate, which is frankly my most preferred method of governance in Washington.
I like it when they're not doing anything, but there's a lot of stuff that needs to be reversed or
sure,
we can't have nothing going on for 2 years. We need some things reversed. Can do it if they stop the continuing resolutions and actually produce a budget. They do that.
Of those,
good.
So, of those three races, which do you think is the most likely to switch to Republican between Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Arizona?
I think they're all going to.
But yeah, but which is most likely? It's a tough one, right?
It's a tough one. Georgia or Arizona?
I think that Arizona also, even though Blake is doing the worst of the three in the polling.
Yeah, but Kerry's doing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think the other thing is the Pennsylvania governor is going to be a drag on Oz. He's doing significantly worse than Oz in the polls. But Governor Kemp in Georgia, his coattails, because he's beating the incumbent Stacey Abrams by a significant margin in all the polls, that might be enough to pull Herschel Walker over the finish line as well.
Only because, Michael, they have suppressed the vote. I mean, yes, they set all kinds of records for early voting, but there's suppression there. What could it have been if they weren't suppressing the vote?
America's worst vote suppressors.
The thing that's great about why I'm so hopeful about the future of this country, before the internet, you would not be able to have instantly someone putting together a compilation of all the times Stacey Abrams claimed that the election in 2018 was stolen from her.
Yeah.
And then when she opens the debate, you know, just lying and saying, oh, yeah, I never said this. You're not going to have to rely on the New York Times or CNN or even Fox to play the footage. You can just go on Twitter. Here's the compilation. Watch it for yourself. This is just put together her own words. And very clearly people see, okay, these people have no problem not only lying, but lying about things that are very easily disprovable.
You know, it's really weird. I hadn't thought of it that way, because I remember going, is anyone going to point this out?
Yeah.
I mean, I've done this for 45 years. Is anyone going to point this out? You don't have to. Now people are doing it in social media. And you're right. Within an hour, somebody has done it. It's fantastic.
It's really, really great. And Carrie Lake's being very good with that. She's got something called the Carrie Lake War Room, and she just is nuking journalists left and right.
Have you met her yet?
Yeah, I've had her on my show. Yeah. It was quite an edifying conversation.
Yeah, I really, really like her. I think I just was with her a couple of weeks ago and said, after talking to her in person and really, you know, having just a good eye-to-eye conversation, I think this woman, if she does well in governing, if she is a Ron DeSantis-style governor, that woman could be the first U.S. president. She's remarkable. Remarkable. Well,
or she could be another Liz Truss.
Yeah.
That went well.
Jeez, that didn't go well at all, did it?
Yikes.
They're going to bring Boris Johnson back now? Is that really what they're going to do?
That's really what they're talking about doing.
Incredible.
I think it's, for those that don't know, we're talking to the British Prime Minister who stepped down at the 44 days or 45 days. I don't remember what it was, but it's kind of funny. Like you guys are saying, they're thinking about bringing Boris Johnson. It's kind of like when you have a band and they recast the lead singer and like no one likes him. It's like, you know what? Let's bring back the old guy.
Yeah.
Who cares if there's problems with him? People liked him a little more. It's
Michael
Malice,
to watch. Thank you so much.
Take care, folks.
Michael Malice, you can find him in his podcast. He's great.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program. Michael Malice is joining us now, host of Your Welcome podcast that is just great. He is talking to us about the three biggest Senate races in the country. But I also want to talk to him about some of the tweets he put out about the number of Democrats in the House in the last 100 years. There is a slim, but there is a possibility this becomes historic. We'll talk to him about that. First, let's go to Pennsylvania, Georgia, and Arizona. Hello, Michael.
Good morning. Are you as excited for election night as I am?
I actually am, because I know what we have planned, some of the things we have planned.
Oh, I don't mean us personally on the blaze. I just meant I think this is going to be really one of those epic election nights where a lot of very bad people are going to be very upset.
And oh,
it's
going
to be to the delight of the audience.
I hope. I feel weird predicting, but I'm gathering a sense of real optimism here if people go out and vote.
Yeah, I also think what I'm most looking forward to, and I would bet you agree, is that many Republicans have, and both Republican politicians and Republican voters, have been tried to be the recipients of a tactic they tried in 2016, which is you cannot vote for this person. This person is anathema, taboo, whatever word you want to use, and you do not have a right to choose this person as your candidate. I'm specifically thinking of Carrie Lake.
Yeah.
Who's probably been hit harder than any other candidate. She's running for governor in Arizona. She's ahead in most of the polls or 1 point behind in some of the others. The fact that Glenn Youngkin, who by most accounts seems to be kind of a milquetoast generic Republican, went out of his way to campaign for her and especially when people like Mike Pence campaigned against her in the primary, is very, very telling, because this is showing how the corporate media's attempts to define who is acceptable and who is not acceptable, both for Republican primary voters and for the general electorate to vote for, that power is falling away rapidly, and that is to the great health of, as they would put it, our democracy.
It is. The fact that we are pulling away from our parties, that we're questioning all politicians, and we are waking up to the fact the media has been lying to us, is that is a good sign of health for the Republic.
And the fact that Carrie Lake, you know, they have this thesis. If you listen to pundits on, you know, most media networks and you read their articles, they had this thesis that Trump is basically like the head vampire, right? And once we get rid of Trump, everything is going to go back to normal. We all saw those movies. You kill the head vampire, all the other vampires vanish. And I've often said that Trump wasn't the river, he was the dam. Mm. You get rid of him, you're going to have this, you know, river of people that corporate media would not like. And Carrie Lake is, and Governor DeSantis, of course, are very much playing in the Trump handbook in the sense of taking the fight, not specifically to the Democrats, but to the journalists who are carrying water and running interference for them. I'm sure you saw it earlier this week when they were yelling at her for being an election denier. And she just busted out the receipts of Stacey Abrams in 2018, Hillary Clinton, and who knows how many others in 2016, calling Trump's election illegitimate and saying Governor Kemp in Georgia, his election was stolen. So
it's what so many of us have said the whole time. Stop being afraid. Stop giving in. Tell the truth.
But it's also the inverse. As another Arizonan, John McCain, learned, they're never going to like you, or they're only going to like you insofar as you're doing their bidding. And the second you are in the way of their schemes, as McCain found out in 2008, they will throw you under the bus so fast it would leave you skid marks from California to Maine.
Yeah. So talk to me about Fetterman.
Oh, my favorite candidate of this year. I sent him money this week.
Just because it's be fun, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not sure if they literally shaved the Chewbacca or they found Lurch and they kind of took him from Butler to being in the Senate. He needs a teleprompter to even hear the questions, which frankly in this day and age makes him presidential more than anything, rather than being a senator. He should be running for Biden's seat in Delaware, to be honest, you know, because of the brain damage. And his wife, I don't know if you saw this, Glenn, she was very upset at that reporter who was asking very benign, germane questions about, look, you need a prompter to hear what I'm saying. Voters are concerned about your health. Is this a concern? And you know, how dare you question the health of a man who most recently had a stroke?
Right. How dare you? How dare you, sir? I have to tell you, I want to see. I would pay money. In fact, if anybody can produce this in a realistic way, I mean, I might pay you money for this. I want to see him and Gene Wilder on the stage doing Putting on the Ritz. I just think, Putting on the Ritz! It's John Fetterman.
But the thing that I'm very surprised about, and Glenn, I'm curious to hear your thoughts as well. The two big kind of swing races where you had these kind of odd candidates, celebrity candidates, was Georgia and Pennsylvania. Dr. Oz, who obviously has no political background particularly, Herschel Walker, football star, had no particular political background either in Georgia. Both were nominated by the Republicans in large part due to their name recognition and their bank accounts. And Oz looked dead in the water. He was running a terrible campaign. Republicans weren't buying it. But now he's in better shape than Herschel Walker. More importantly, he has the momentum. He was behind in all the polls, you know, not that long ago. And now he's caught up or a point or two behind. So I think that is a big surprise that he's looking to be in many ways a safer bet than Walker in Georgia. Are you surprised to see that happen, Glenn?
I am, but I wouldn't count Herschel Walker out. I think Herschel Walker is going to win. I don't know if you saw debate, but I think he's going to win.
I agree with you. I think he's going to win. And the reason is we haven't had a wave election in, I think, like 8 years. 2020, it wasn't a wave election because Republicans picked up House seats. In 2018, it should have been, in 2018, it wasn't a wave election. 2016, you know, Trump won, but it wasn't some kind of massive wave one way or another. 2014 was when all the races that were toss-ups broke for the Republicans, and they had their biggest House majority since the 1920s. If you look at the Real Clear average of polls, which is kind of the most reliable one because it's a poll of polls, every single House race that they were looking at, that was that, you know, the last race changes, I think there were 20 of them, every single one went in the direction of the Republicans. Now, that didn't mean the Republicans were favored. In some cases, the Democratic lead went from 10 points to 7 or 15 to 12, and they're still going to win. Point being, if you have this kind of nationalization of an election and every race starts breaking in one direction, we've seen it, you and I are old enough to have seen this in 94. We saw for the Democrats in 2006, 2008. If that's the case, then all three of these kind of races that are going to decide the Senate, specifically Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, they're all going to break Republican. I want Herschel Walker and Fetterman are the two candidates I'm most excited about. And I agree. I read Herschel Walker's book this week. Did you know he played Russian roulette so many times he's lost track of count? Did you know that?
I did know that.
By his own words.
Yeah, no, I know. He's not like that. He used to be a neighbor of mine. I know him. He admits to his crazy life, and right. I think he has it under control. I think he knows what caused it and what the effects are.
Well, I think most people know what the effects of Russian roulette are.
Yeah, I know.
And I think this is the kind of thing, I'm Russian, but I guess technically if I play roulette, it's Russian roulette, but
yeah, I don't even play roulette. So
yeah.
So you did a couple of polls, on Twitter the other day. If Republicans take control of Congress next month, will Joe Biden govern more like Bill Clinton, leading things more balanced budget and Defense of Marriage Act, which he voted for, or will he stay the course? 90% said stay the course. 100% agree with that.
Yeah, it's obviously not a very scientific poll because it's just audience. Yeah. But the thing, Joe Biden as a senator, in the 90s, he was this kind of quote-unquote centrist Clinton Democrat, voted for a Defense of Marriage Act, and now he's tweeting about how important it is for everyone to be able to marry who they want. I think the reason why I would agree that if the Republicans take the Congress, as it looks quite likely that they will, that Biden is going to stay the course is, it seems pretty clear to pretty much everyone, including Democrats, that Biden is not really the leader. If you look at those massive spending bills, none of them were particularly Biden priorities. It's not like he was there supposedly this blue collar Joe. These were all kind of lefty environmentalist things. He's that wasn't ever his issue. So it seems quite clear that, first of all, he's only in the White House due to the powers that be in the Democratic Party, like a Warren Harding kind of situation, the men in the smoke-filled rooms. No one liked Biden. He was doing terribly in the primaries. Then phone calls came and the party's like, all right, he's our guy to stop Bernie Sanders. And there's been very little leadership from, like, Obamacare was Obama's decision. Pelosi was the one kind of behind the mechanics of it, but it was clearly his big vision. Biden doesn't have vision at all. He can't even get up the steps. So, I think that's actually correct, that if the Republicans take over Congress, that he's, I don't think it's just going to be stalemate, which is frankly my most preferred method of governance in Washington.
I like it when they're not. I like it when they're not doing anything. But there's a lot of stuff that needs to be reversed, or
sure,
we can't have nothing going on for 2 years. We need some things reversed, can do it if they stop the continuing resolutions and actually produce a budget. They do that.
Of those,
good.
So of those three races, which do you think is the most likely to switch to Republican between Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Arizona?
I think they're all going to.
But which is most likely? It's a tough one, right?
It's a tough one. Georgia or Arizona?
Right? I think that Arizona also, even though Blake is doing the worst of the three in the polling.
Yeah, but Kerry's doing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's the thing. I think the other thing is the Pennsylvania governor is going to be a drag on Oz. He's doing significantly worse than Oz in the polls. But Governor Kemp in Georgia, his coattails, because he's beating the incumbent Stacey Abrams by a significant margin in all the polls. That might be enough to pull Herschel Walker over the finish line as well.
Only because, Michael, they have suppressed the vote. I mean, yes, they set all kinds of records for early voting, but there's suppression there. What could it have been if they weren't suppressing the vote?
America's worst vote suppressors.
The thing that's great about why I'm so hopeful about the future of this country, before the internet, you would not be able to have instantly someone putting together a compilation of all the times Stacey Abrams claimed that the election in 2018 was stolen from her.
Yeah.
And then when she opens the debate, you know, just lying and saying, oh, yeah, I never said this. You're not going to have to rely on the New York Times or CNN or even Fox to play the footage. You can just go on Twitter. Here's the compilation. Watch it for yourself. This is just put together her own words. And very clearly people see, okay, these people have no problem not only lying, but lying about things that are very easily disprovable.
You know, it's really weird. I hadn't thought of it that way, because I remember going, is anyone going to point this out?
Yeah.
I mean, I've done this for 45 years. Is anyone going to point this out? You don't have to. Now people are doing it in social media. And you're right. Within an hour, somebody has done it. It's fantastic.
It's really, really great. And Carrie Lake's being very good with that. She's got something called the Carrie Lake War Room, and she just is nuking journalists left and right.
Have you met her yet?
Yeah, I've had her on my show. Yeah. It was quite an edifying conversation.
Yeah, I really, really like her. I think I just was with her a couple of weeks ago and said, after talking to her in person and really, you know, having just a good eye-to-eye conversation, I think this woman, if she does well in governing, if she is a Ron DeSantis-style governor, that woman could be the first U.S. president. She's remarkable. Remarkable. Well,
or she could be another Liz Truss.
Yeah.
That went well.
Jeez, that didn't go well at all, did it?
Yikes.
They're going to bring Boris Johnson back now? Is that really what they're going to do?
That's really what they're talking about doing.
Incredible.
I think it's, for those that don't know, we're talking about the British Prime Minister who stepped down at the 44 days or 45 days. I don't remember what it was. But it's kind of funny, like you guys are saying, they're thinking about bringing Boris Johnson. It's kind of like when you have a band and they recast the lead singer and like no one likes him. It's like, you know what? Let's bring back the old guy.
Yeah.
Who cares if there's problems with him? People liked him a little more. It's
Michael
hilarious
Malice,
to watch.
Thank you so much.
Take care, folks.
Michael Malice, you can find him in his podcast. It's great.